This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know it's every day. Moose and Taz be paving the way. Talking about every sport. You know that they never missing a play. From the NBA to the NFL to college games. They always bringing the knowledge. Nobody ever could try to go stop it. Only be talking the truth. Only be talking the truth. Ayy.
It is Taz and the Moose with you as we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Excuse me. You've got Pete and Sam across the way on the side at the controls. Bogus double duty today. He's got updates sitting with me for the next 3 hours right up until 9 a.m. Eastern time. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Your number to call. What's going on, Bogus? How you doing, buddy?
Moose, don't get emotional. Taz is just off today, and Monday will be back on Tuesday.
I've been
hang
having some
in there.
Allergy issues, man. Sometimes, initially, my dad the other day, I was talking to him on the phone. He goes, "Why are you so hoarse?" I go, "I'm not." He goes, "Then why do you sound like that?" I go, "Dad, I don't know.
Thanks for checking in, Dad. I appreciate it.
I was trying to clear my throat. Exactly right. I don't know what the deal is. It happened to me the other day, first block on Loudmouths on SNY to where... on TV, I do a show during the course of the day at 5:30 locally, home of the Mets, SNY. And
wait, you don't just go home from here and
I have other duties after this, thank God, right? So which is great. I mean, it's good to be busy, but first block, the producer gets in my ear. He goes, "I'm cutting your mic off. Clear your throat."
Always a pro. I was like finishing my lunch the other day.
They're running
into an
water
update
to me. Yeah.
Like, maybe you wanted to stop chewing a few minutes sooner.
There you go. Very nice. How you doing, buddy? Good?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm good. It's a good Friday morning. I mean, it's Memorial Day weekend is almost upon us. And we got 3 hours of great sports talk radio for you. Andrew and myself will take you through. Pierre McGuire will join us a little bit later on in the program. Analyst, you see him in between the benches on NBC. Stanley Cup Final is set between the St. Louis Blues and the Boston Bruins, and that's going to be a fun series which gets going over the course of the holiday weekend. And look forward to that. And we're going to get a big Game 6 on Saturday night up into Toronto. And, you know, this is why Ujiri makes the trade that he makes in the offseason, in which he takes the one-year gamble, realizing as an organization, because sometimes you – as an executive, Andrew, you got to realize what you are and what you are not. And why continue to pound your head up against the wall if you know that you do not have the horses come the postseason to get the job done one, two, three times, where they've had the Toronto Raptors, that is. And I get it was LeBron James's conference. I understand no one was beating LeBron. But the Toronto Raptors did not have that transitional, transformational talent on their team to kind of raise the level of everyone else around them, the guy to be able to lean on. And that's exactly what they got with that trade from the San Antonio Spurs in the offseason. And they take the one-year gamble on Kawhi Leonard. And you saw it last night, a perfect case in point, where Leonard gives you, 14, 15 points in that fourth quarter. He was absolutely brilliant. Going to the free throw line. Leg didn't appear to be as injured this go-around in Game 5 as it did in Game 3 and in Game 4 especially. He wasn't dragging that leg around. And he was absolutely spectacular. Every time the Raptors needed a big basket, I mean, it felt like Kawhi Leonard either was getting to the rim or going to the free throw line. He was absolutely spectacular. And Toronto is now one victory away, which would be at home Saturday night to get themselves to the NBA Finals.
You know, Moose, so much happened last year with Leonard and kind of boycotting the Spurs and them angry at him, Tony Parker and others taking shots at Kawhi, made you wonder how tough he was, what his commitment was. It was the first real drama we've had surrounding him basically in his entire career. He'd been a phenomenal player, but quiet. I mean, a monk. You knew nothing about him.
Nothing.
But then so much happened, and some of it seemed to be possibly, you know, negative and somewhat damning against Leonard. I think we forgot just how damn good he was.
Yeah.
I mean, before all that happened, he was arguably the third best player in the NBA. And last night definitely looked better, but still certainly somewhat compromised by these leg issues. He went out there, and as you said, 15 fourth quarter points, 35 total. He had 9 assists, apparently. All 9 of them led to three pointers. So there's 27 additional points on top of the 35 he scored, plus defense. I mean, he was just phenomenal last night, and that's exactly why they went and got him, as you said.
Yeah, and you know what? He doesn't have much of a personality, but he doesn't really need to have much of one either when you play at the level that he played at last night, Bogish, because he was spectacular. We'll get to the three-point shooting in the Toronto Raptors. We'll get to the point, the production that he got, from Van Fleet coming off the bench, who dropped in 21 points, all coming from behind the three-point arc. Hitting 7-9 from the three-point line. And, that was spectacular. And the ills of the Milwaukee Bucks right now. But, you look at this series, and there's no doubt that, and this is not going to be one where you rain on Giannis, but you look at this series, and you watch these two teams, and one series does not tell you the complete story. Listen, Kawhi went out and set out 22 games in the regular season. The Toronto Raptors wanted to make sure that he's healthy and ready to go. But there is a distinct difference between the two players here, Andrew. Giannis is going to win the MVP of the league, I believe, right? And I think he's going to out-duel James Harden. But it isn't even close for my money in terms of who the best player in this series has been, and it's been Kawhi Leonard. It's almost like he has individually taken up the challenge. For the team, he's taken up the challenge. Everything runs through him. He's a remarkable defensive player. When he needs to make a three, he does. I heard Hubie Brown say it last night. It's almost like at times he's playing the game in slow motion and always can get to the point on the court that he wants to get to and is very meticulous in trying to get there. But by hook or by crook, he will get there. He is so far much better than Giannis right now. And I know Giannis is 24 years of age, but is an all-around player. I mean, Kawhi Leonard, Giannis, Giannis is going to be the MVP of the league. Best player in this series has been Kawhi.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. And I was watching this game last night, the 18-4 start by Milwaukee. The Raptors get right back in it. Then they go back and forth the rest of the way. Milwaukee, struggling at times to score the basketball, then not scoring, and Giannis making good plays. But a lot of times, too, Moose, he's Giannis because he plays right on the line of recklessness.
Yeah.
And because he's so big and so athletic, and he can, for the most time, just put his head down, get through defenders, get to the rim, dunk it, lay it in, make a pass for an easy two to an open teammate because everybody else is running towards him as he's making these drives. But I thought last night, more often than not, he was forcing things, was too out of control. It wasn't working. It was hamstringing their offense. And here we are now. His team has lost 3 in a row. They're down 3-2. They've got a win in Toronto to extend their series. He He's getting outplayed by Leonard. I don't know what the right word is, because disappointing sounds unfair. The head-to-head comparison probably isn't fair either. But he hasn't been good enough. It's a lot of the Raptors in their defense, but I also think it's him, you know, for the first time maybe being on this stage and maybe pressing and not knowing exactly how to handle these big moments because he's never been in them before. But the bottom line is, we've played 5 games now, and unless I'm forgetting something, he has not had a dynamic game yet in this series, a truly dynamic one. While Kawhi's had 4 30-point games through 5, he needs to have a monster game 6.
Oh, he has to have a monster game 6, because if you thought games 3 and 4 up in Toronto were loud, they are now 48 minutes away from the NBA Finals. That place, Raptor Park, I mean, that city is going to be absolutely exploding on Saturday night when that place gets going. And you're right, Giannis is going to have to give you 35-plus points. And you mentioned in terms of Kawhi. Kawhi Leonard, put a little bit into context. He 4 of the 5 games in this series, he's gone over the 30-point mark. He's had 11 30-plus point games here in the postseason. There's no other NBA player in this postseason that's given you 7 or more. So, I mean, think about just how consistent Kawhi Leonard has been here in the postseason for the Toronto Raptors, how much they have leaned on him, Andrew, and just how brilliant he has been. And listen, we'd be doing the rest of the team a disservice if we didn't talk about everyone else. I mean, the fact that they were, you know, they shot nearly 42% from behind the arc. They outscored Milwaukee by 24 points, you know, hit 8 more threes. Van Fleet hitting 7 three-pointers coming off the bench, finishing the game with 21 points. I mean, you know, Siakam gave you a good game, a double-double of 14 and 13. You know, Lowry, hurt finger at all. I thought Kyle Lowry was pretty good all-around game. He had 17 points, 7 rebounds, 6 assists. There were other guys that followed, so you need the supporting cast for Kawhi Leonard. But anytime I think about the fact of when I really felt Toronto was going to win this basketball game last night, even when they came all the way back from 14 down early in that game to actually take the lead midway point of that second quarter, was when Kawhi Leonard hit back-to-back three-pointers mid-third quarter to take the lead there. I said, listen, Milwaukee can't shake Toronto tonight like they did in games 1 and 2 here in Milwaukee. This is going to go right down the stretch. And I just thought that Kawhi would gut and will this team to a victory last night, and that's exactly what he did.
And even that, you know, the Bucks opened the door for that. It was 8 straight points from him, the 2 threes, then free throws, and then Siakam got a dunk, and they went from down 2 to up 8 in a flash midway through the fourth quarter. But even Reggie Miller and Chris Webber were on this. The first 3 came off a pick and roll where they switched, the Bucks did, and Brooke Lopez followed Leonard, and Kawhi was like, I'm going to step back and put a 3 in your eye. The very next time on the floor, they did it again, and right away, I don't know who said it first, but I think it was Reggie saying, why did he switch that again? And then boom, 3 again. So yeah, Leonard hits the shots, but the Bucks also opened the door both times. Those are the little kind of things there that maybe the experience of Leonard, the inexperience of the Bucks, and their head coach kind of reared its ugly head. And there were too many of those situations where the Raptors jumped on opportunities that the Bucks opened up for them. 5 offensive rebounds allowed by Milwaukee. 8 points it led to in the fourth quarter. Just little tiny things like that. That's how you lose a home playoff game.
That is how you lose a home playoff game, and you also lose it by, as we talked about Giannis earlier on, Andrew, and you brought up the point, forcing things, the lack of adjustments that you saw. And you saw Budenholzer throw Brogdon into the starting lineup and take Mirotic out of it. So you saw that little bit of an adjustment. But the Raptors defensively for Nick Nurse, who everyone wants to rib and get on and everyone wants to focus in on Drake, give Toronto credit. They made an adjustment defensively here, and it's worked. They've taken away the driving lanes, and this 1-in-4-out offense for the Milwaukee Bucks has not worked. To where, you know, if you have a scenario here where, you know, if you are able to get the ball to Giannis at the top of the key, you know, he could be able to distribute from there. Unfortunately, he's trying to take it down low, and there's just no way for him to get to where he wants to get to on the floor to be able to finish at the rim, and they're making it as uncomfortable on him as he possibly can without fouling him. And these other guys are failing to step up when they need to.
Yeah, they were borderline atrocious late, well, second quarter mostly, because they gave up. The Raptors got right back into the game from being down 18-4, but then Milwaukee pushed away again and led by, 10 at the end of the first quarter. But then they only scored 17 points in the second, and somebody tweeted during that, You know, right now the Bucks half-court offense is averaging 0.88 points per possession. You want to be over one in general, or right around one. And then the particular context was they were at 0.88. The Knicks were 0.83 for the entire season, and the Knicks were
never want to be
awful.
In the same conversation right. with the Knicks.
So,
same
you know,
sentence.
And that's exactly the combination of Toronto's defense and Milwaukee not finding a different plan of attack. And it was just, I mean, they call it a wall because it's a wall. There's just three Raptor defenders lined up at the free throw line waiting for this downhill charge from Giannis. And he got through it sometimes, but usually stumbling, making a bad pass, falling down, taking a tough shot. Yes, there were times I thought he was fouled and it wasn't called Moose. And I know Buck fans were in the building and on social media weren't happy with the officiating last night. But the Raptors have just had a better plan and better execution from top to bottom. And now it's up to the Bucks to spend the next 36 hours figuring out what their counterpunch is.
But listen, all that can become undone because you mentioned the offensive rebounds, right? Which is a hell of a point. I mean, you had, with less than 3 minutes to go, I don't remember exactly the exact timestamp. Two of them happened with under 40 seconds to go in regulation. Kawhi shoots a three. He knows it's a miss. Follows his own shot.
Right.
And rips the ball away from Giannis. And that is a rebound that Antetokounmpo has got to grab because that's going to be a Bucks possession. He gets it back, actually gets fouled, and goes to the free throw line, right? So that you look at that one. Then, yeah, what was thought at the time to be the 24 shot clock violation where Lopez
right.
fails to grab the rebound and the miss, where then they actually call a foul on Lopez when they go back to the scorer's table. They did at the time, but then they realized it was a shot clock violation, go back to the scorer's table, realize it wasn't, reinstitute the foul, go to the free throw line, and I think make one or two free throws. Then you get to the scenario on the next possession, Milwaukee is down three, right? So after making one of two, they actually have a shot, and Brogdon loses the ball out of bounds off of his foot, off of his calf, I believe it was, goes out of bounds, Toronto gets the ball back. You look at any of those three things, if any of them go Milwaukee's way, we might be looking at a different. But that's where you talk about execution.
Yep.
That's where you talk about finishing stuff off. Lopez failure to grab the ball. Giannis failure to grab the basketball. Brogdon having the ball go off his leg out of bounds. Those scenarios, especially when you're home, Andrew, you can't have that happen late and expect to survive as good of a Toronto team as the Raptors are.
And I think the Raptors doing all this hard work also gets them kind of lady luck on their side too, because that weird shot clock violation sequence there, that ball, I mean, barely touches the rim.
Barely.
Underneath of the rim. It's not going in no matter what. It just luckily gets ironed. If it doesn't hit the iron in that way at that force, I think it was Brogdon. It might have been Middleton. There's a buck just standing there to catch the air ball that deflects away from them that goes then towards Lopez and Gasol, which leads to the foul and then the free throw. Even those little things went the Raptors' way last night because I don't know if you actually can, but it feels like you can earn those bounces. And last night they earned the bounces. Even the out-of-bounds play, Brogdon thought it went off of Siakam's leg, so he didn't go and get it. But it went off of him out of bounds, and it's Raptor ball. I mean, it's just, that's, again, someone had to steal one here along the way. And led by Leonard, the Raptors got this steal last night, and now they couldn't be in a better situation.
No, they really could be. Going back home, where they have the tremendous home court advantage, and they now lead the series 3-2. They need to win a game in Milwaukee, and they got it last night in very, very impressive fashion. Let's hear from Kawhi Leonard, the Raptors star, dropping in 35 and a big road victory on a Thursday night in Milwaukee. Let's hear from Kawhi after the game.
You know, same mindset I've been having throughout the playoffs, just, you know, come in, have fun, try to execute as best as I can, and play confident, and whatever happens after that is what happens. You know, and I know that I put the work in, I can live with the results because I'm having fun, and I'm putting my all out on the floor.
Well, it's interesting, you know, and we look at Kawhi Leonard. I think everyone has a deeper appreciation. It's none of the nonsense of the BS from a year ago. But he said, listen, and he would go on even further with that. Listen, this is why I work during the summer. You know, I work for these moments. I don't shy away from these moments. I want the shot. I want to take the shot. What's so refreshing about Kawhi and why I kind of have a man crush on Kawhi Leonard here. And I get it, it's difficult to say after everything that happened last year, but last year I think it was more about relationship issues with San Antonio than it was the personality of the man. You could get into it and say that he's got no. That's fine. He is all business. He's an assassin. And it's refreshing that there's this non-BS. Listen, I'm good. I don't need to show you with any other extracurricular stuff how good I am. I don't need to post on social media. I don't need to do any of that. You will be in awe of my performance on the court. There's something refreshing about just how good Leonard is and just how much he does not shine or how much he does not go toward the spotlight and need the attention. He just is able to be brilliant and understands how good he is.
He's come almost like an inoffensive Kobe Bryant.
Yes.
Kobe was kind of smug about being Kobe. I don't think Kawhi is smug. I think he's awkward. Like, he doesn't want to be talking about these things, but no. He knows he has to, so he says them. But, you know, Kobe would remind you over and over again how much of an assassin he was. And Leonard played that kind of game last night. It was a 50-50 game, basically, as the fourth quarter begins.
Right.
And he just goes, I want to win this game. And then sits down and tells you afterwards, this is why I bust my you-know-what all summer long, so I'm ready for games like this. And he is clearly not 100% physically, and he still had a game like that last night on the road in a 2-2 series trying to get to the NBA Finals.
Here's Nick Nurse talking about his star and what he was able to do last night.
You know, he has been unbelievable in the playoffs with the Spurs as well, but, you know, you're not as close to it. You know, heck, you might not even have seen all the games or whatever, you know. But again, you know, I can only state that he's been really good, and it seems like he's, I don't know, it doesn't look like there's, you know, he gets stronger as the fourth wears on.
What about coming back from 14 down, Coach?
Thought we did a good job of creating shots, and I thought the guys stayed positive, even though with the bad, kind of the cold shooting. You know, a lot of talk on the bench during the timeouts of, you know, keep shooting, we're open, keep passing, keep kicking, you know, and they were positive, even though they weren't making them. And then obviously some start, you know, we made a bunch of big ones.
Oh, they did. I mean, they absolutely did.
Yeah, and I thought the Bucks let them off the hook too quickly. I did not think it was going to be a wire-to-wire win by double digit. I didn't think the game was over at 18-4, Moose, but the game was close again too quickly. They didn't make the Raptors sweat that. They
totally
didn't make
agree.
Them get to a point where it's like, do we have enough time to get back into this game? Even if it just goes a little longer into the second quarter, I think that game might feel a little bit differently. But as fast as it came was almost as fast as it disappeared as that first quarter got older.
Right. 5:09 mark of the second quarter is when the Raptors took their first lead of the night.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Right.
They go from 18-4 down on the road now. Now, you could see some of those kind of great turnarounds when you are home. On the road, great team, 60-win Buck team. You're down 14 in game five. All of a sudden, you're looking at a scenario at the 5:09 mark of the second quarter. That lead is completely dissipated.
Yep.
The stunning nature of how quickly that went away, I agree with you. I thought Milwaukee would have, and they still had a lead at the half, but I thought Milwaukee would have an 8 to 9 point lead at the half. That's how, and then maybe Toronto would then cut away at it in the third quarter to where then we got a great game in the fourth quarter. I was stunned. I agree with you, Andrew. I think it's a great point. I was stunned at how quickly that lead went.
Yeah, and even not just the actual numbers of it, it didn't feel like the Raptors were in trouble that long.
No.
Like,
it
all
did
of a sudden,
not.
It's like, okay, you know, they're like, even it was a manageable deficit so quickly. It's like, okay, fine. Like, they survived it. It was 18-4 in a hurry. The building's going nuts. They're dunking. They're hitting threes. But now that's over, and we're just going to play a game the rest of the way. And you know, they traded the lead, and Milwaukee went back in front, and Toronto went up by as many as like 8 or 9, I think. So, I mean, it went back and forth from there. It was a winnable game in the end for the Bucks.
It was.
And it's a long way back to that first quarter, but I think letting them feel good about themselves still within that opening quarter is definitely something that helped the Raptors win that game last night.
No question about it. I want to hear from you at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Can the Bucks even it up in Game 6? We'll hear from the Greek Freak. We'll do that next. We'll also head out west to Golden State. Get an update on a pair of their stars, the health status of both DeMarcus Cousins, remember him, and also Kevin Durant, as they continue to wait and wait and wait till May 30th, Game 1 of the NBA Finals. We're now 6 days away from Game 1 of the NBA Finals. If you think about that, it's a week from last night. It's Mark Melusis, Andrew Bogish, Taz of the Moose with you on this Friday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz Rez and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, 855-212-4227. That's your number to call. It is Taz the Moose. Bogish is sitting in as CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. 15 minutes. You can save 15% or more on car insurance. We'll get into the reaction of the Tough Bucks loss game five at home last night as they are on the brink of elimination and head back to not the cozy confines, the unfriendly confines up in Toronto as the Raptors go back home for what will be the biggest game in their franchise's history, a chance to get themselves to the NBA Finals, biggest home game in their franchise's history, as they're 40 minutes away from a face-off against the Golden State Warriors, which would be an intriguing matchup, but we'll see what Milwaukee has to say come Saturday night. Bogish is in the house to chat with me and with you, and he's got updates throughout the course of the morning. What's going on, Andrew?
Moose, this first one is sponsored by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. This is what we talked about a few minutes ago. Not exactly the dagger, but definitely the moment Kawhi Leonard took control of the fourth quarter, a game five in Milwaukee.
Kawhi, step back, triple. And it's in! Back-to-back triples for Kawhi. Back-to-back-to-back triples for the Raptors as Toronto has grabbed a four-point lead with 7:56 to go in the game.
As heard on Raptors radio, Leonard scoring the first 8 points of a 10-0 run that left Toronto up eight midway through the fourth. The teams traded the lead a few times the rest of the way, but the Raptors got the W, 105-99. Leonard scored 15 in the fourth, 35 in the game, adding 7 rebounds and a career-high 9 assists, 21 points on 7 threes off the bench from Fred VanVleet. The Bucks have lost 3 in a row for the first time this season. Now they have to win in Toronto tomorrow night to extend their season. The Warriors say Kevin Durant and DeMarcus Cousins recovering well still from their calf and quad injuries. Durant not expected to be ready for the start of the finals on Thursday. Maybe a slight chance that Cousins does play the opener. Both expected to participate at some point in the series. Giannis and James Harden, unanimous first-team All-NBA selections yesterday. Steph Curry, Paul George, Nikola Jokic joined them on that first team. Damian Lillard made the second team. Kemba Walker the third, making them eligible for Supermax extensions this summer. 2.5 late games yesterday on the diamond. The Braves and Giants started in the afternoon, but played 13 in San Francisco.
Here's the 0-2 pitch to Riley.
Line, base hit along the right field line. Chasing it down is Pilar in the corner. In to score is Swanson.
For a 5-4 road win. That was Jim Powell on Braves radio. Rookie Austin Riley tied the game way back in the eighth with his fifth homer in just his ninth career game, something no Brave has ever done before. Then the game-winning single. Atlanta has won 10 of 13 overall. The lone true night game saw the Rays win in Cleveland 7-2 and the White Sox win in Houston 4-0. Lucas Giolito, a four-hitter, the team's first complete game shutout since Chris Sale in April 2016. Free agent D-tackle Gerald McCoy to visit the Browns today with at least six other teams interested in his services. And Niners rookie DN Nick Bosa likely off the field until training camp with a grade one right hamstring pull. Moose?
Well, it's interesting. You mentioned the Tampa Bay scenario with McCoy. It's interesting. Get rid of McCoy. I know they owed him $13 million. You bring in Ndamukong Suh, right, in free agency to replace McCoy. And that's fine. But if you look at it, McCoy's actually better at getting to the quarterback than Ndamukong Suh is. So, I mean, I don't know how much of a significance of an upgrade that is when you look at McCoy out. And if I were him, and I know there's six other teams that would be interested, I mean, if you're able to latch on to that Cleveland Brown team with what they have offensively and they throw him into the mix defensively along that D-line in that rotation, that would be that would be a hell of an acquisition for the Cleveland Browns.
Well, didn't he post a picture the other day of him, like, or a picture of somebody from a plane shooting Cleveland and the stadium was in the back?
Yes.
And he was talking about motivation. I get your Cleveland point, but I also saw that the Patriots were interested.
No,
I
it's
pretty
true too.
Much think that they'd have to get my first thought because they're closer to winning the whole thing than Cleveland is.
No, I get it. I get it. I understand it. And the Pats are, that's why the Pats are the Pats. I mean, they lay in the weeds and All of a sudden they're there and a big time veteran. And that's fair. And I guess I'm just more excited about what the potential could be in Cleveland. And maybe it's an anti-Patriot stance because they always seem to land that kind of a guy. But, yeah, if you're McCoy, which one's the more consistent bank? Yeah, it would be the New England Patriots as compared to the Browns. It's not even close.
I mean, I don't want him to be a Patriot.
No, I get it. I understand that.
But if I'm like, him, I'm starting there.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. Let's head out to Green Bay. It's our buddy Todd. It's CBS Sports Radio. What's going on, Todd?
Hey, just curious, what do you think about the Milwaukee Bucks? Do you think they have it in them to complete the series or no? They seem like they're falling apart.
Well, I mean, listen, after the first two games, there were a lot of people that thought the Milwaukee Bucks might win this in five. And now we've seen the Milwaukee Bucks lose three straight, and it's a credit to what the Raptors and Kawhi Leonard and their secondary and tertiary players have been able to do, whether it be Van Fleet, Powell. You know, Kyle Lowry has played well in this series after all the criticism that he rightfully got for being more of a regular season player than a postseason player. Yeah, I still think the assets are there for Milwaukee. They've just got to be a lot better defensively, and they've got to be a lot more efficient offensively. They've got to shoot the ball better than they've shot it. Mirotić only played 9 minutes last night. Ilyasova only played 11 minutes. The guys that are in there, they can't be outscored by 24 points from behind the arc and expect to win on the road. They've got to be a much better, more efficient team offensively, and they've also got to tighten the screws a little bit defensively as well. Todd?
Well, Moose, we go back to after game one. We talked to, was it Jason Jackson from Miami checked in, and it kind of boiled down the conversation to which secondary players are going to be the best, because we knew Giannis and Kawhi would be good, and they basically have been. Leonard's been better, no doubt about that. And for the most part now, the secondary Raptors have been better. It was Van Fleet last night with Siakam and Lowry, who are a little better than secondary players mixing in. And they outplayed Middleton and Brogdon and Brook Lopez. Milwaukee early got that huge game one from Lopez. They got a big game from Middleton and a loss the other day. That's, to me, is what this game six will come down to. Giannis said it. We're not going to fold. He's not going to fold. The other guys are the question mark. Do those guys have a big game six on the road at this stage of the season? Do they have that in them? He's going to show up. It's the other 11 guys that get a jersey on in game six that have to show up as well from Milwaukee.
Yeah, and listen, Toronto on the road last night, I love bringing up that comment from Hubie Brown, because I think Hubie, just knows so much basketball, more than you'll ever, he knows more basketball than probably that I'll ever know in my lifetime. I mean, that's what Hubie Brown's been able to do. And more probably in his fingertips than I will, because of his great exposure in the game. And he's a tremendous analyst. He used to always say, your bench players at home will be, plus 15, plus 16, something of that nature, as right, compared to the road team. You'll always get a bump up. Last night, think about this. Toronto got 35 points from their bench players, from three guys. Van Fleet with 21 of those 35. The Milwaukee Bucks got 15. I mean, Toronto was plus 24 from behind the arc and plus 20 from their bench. There's no way they're losing that game. Not with Kawhi Leonard dropping in 35. I mean, that is an absolute disaster for Milwaukee. They've got to be a lot better shooting the basketball, which they were. I mean, they were Giannis and Lopez at times down low, but they were a team that relied on shooting the three from the outside. And having the bigs that could also take you outside, a lot of stretch fours. You look at Ilyasova, you look at Mirotić, you look at Brook Lopez, what they were able to do in shooting the ball from the outside. Got to remember, I mean, the game tying three late last night that tied the game up, I believe it was at 93. I mean, that was a three from Lopez from the outside that tied the game up when they were down three. You need your bench to step up and play a lot better than it's been playing. And it seems like Toronto right now has found it, and it's going to be very, very difficult for Todd and all the Buck fans out there. It's hard to envision Milwaukee, with the way that they're playing right now, going on the road and winning in Toronto game six Saturday night. I think they'll have a shot, but would it surprise me if this is a margin game in the fourth quarter, Bogus? Would it surprise you if the bow completely breaks on Milwaukee and Toronto is up by 14, 15 points fourth quarter on Saturday night?
No, it wouldn't, and that's saying a lot, because after game one and game two, I definitely skewed towards that group that thought the Bucks might be able to make quick work of the Raptors. Not run them off the floor, but five competitive games, that they could win four of them, just getting one in Toronto and taking care of their three home games, wrapping it up. I thought that was very possible. And now, since then, they haven't won. They haven't looked good. They've been exploited at times, their weaknesses, their cracks, and they haven't had a counter for that just yet. And now they have to go to one of the craziest places to play in the NBA that will be at peak craziness tomorrow night.
Here is Giannis Antetokounmpo after the loss last night and what his team needs to do game six Saturday night up in Toronto.
We know as a team that we've lost three straight, and you know, something new for us, but we got to go in Toronto and we got to get game six. You know, we got to fix anything we're doing wrong right now. Just try to play winning basketball, and you know, we've created great habits all year long, so hopefully we can it comes out in game six.
Yeah, I mean, that's what they're going to need. And they're going to need an adjustment here by Budenholzer. And they're also going to need, stop talking about Drake. Enough. I mean, enough. Enough with the side story of Drake. Enough with what he's doing and giving Nick Nurse a back rub. Enough of whether or not you're bothered by it enough. And even if I'm asked a question about it and I'm Budenholzer, or I'm one of these Buck players, I'm moving on to my next question. I'm not even giving it any more kind of oxygen to the fire here. I can't do it. I've got to circle the wagons. It's got to be about us. Find a little intestinal fortitude. What they have to do here, they've got to show a little bit more toughness than the Toronto Raptors, which is going to be difficult to do because Toronto, I think, and I agree with you, Bogish, I think after the first two games, I think there were a lot of people that thought Toronto, the bow is broken. The Bucks are just too good. The Raptors circled the wagons and found themselves. You saw the criticism of Nurse. You saw the criticism at times of the bench players, the criticism of Kyle Lowry reared its ugly head over the first two games. And you saw this Raptor team step up. They've played tough, physical brand of basketball. Their defense has been spectacular. Kawhi Leonard has been great. And they've got those secondary, Powell, Van Fleet. I mean, just look at all these guys that have been, come up and made big shots for this Raptor team over the last three games. Now you got a Buck team be able to do what Toronto has done last three. And all they got to do is get one. And then get this series back home for a game seven.
Now, are you aware of last night's particular Drake drama?
No. What happened last night?
Okay, so for he was still in Toronto. I'm surprised Correct. He didn't go to Milwaukee. Maybe he didn't feel safe. I don't know about that.
Yeah, I don't know.
He stayed at Jurassic Park, and he was on a stage, and they were all partying outside the arena. But if you saw the video when Aaron Rodgers was trying and failing to chug a beer.
I saw that video.
The young woman sitting next to him is Mallory Edens, whose dad, Wes, owns the Bucks.
I'm familiar with Mallory.
Right.
NBA draft lottery.
Exactly. A couple years ago, she was the belle of the ball, so to speak.
Yes.
Then we all realized that she was like 16. Everybody backed off loving Mallory. That was a dicey night, if you might remember that. But anyway, here she is last night, courtside, next to Aaron Rodgers. She's wearing a Pusha T t-shirt.
Okay.
I guess that's Drake's rival. Again, this is all above my head. I couldn't be lamer. I couldn't know less about anything popular music, but Pusha T and Drake, not buddies.
Not buddies. So she wore a Pusha T t-shirt
right.
as Rodgers is trying to chug a beer.
And the building was playing Pusha T songs all night, so they were all in anti-Drake. But then, because the Raptors won, Drake changed his Instagram avatar to a picture of Mallory Edens. So if you go to Drake's account, in the little circle, it's not Drake anymore. It's a picture of her. Not from last night. It's a random picture that maybe he grabbed from her account. But anyway, I guess some people think that's Drake going too far, that like he shouldn't have responded and taken
Why
her
picture. Why is that going too far?
I don't know. Listen, I don't know Pusha T versus Drake. I don't know social media rules and what you can do and can't do. But some people thought... I
it's
believe
not
the,
like
the SI.com. Did Drake go too far?
Oh, stop! That's nonsense. First off, I didn't even know about all the drama until Bogus just mentioned it. I mean, maybe that's a bad job by me. Number two is all I felt like I heard, and we talked about a little bit yesterday, but we didn't spend the majority of the time. I mean, listen, Drake's annoying. I mean, any way you cut it, he's an annoying super fan. God bless him for all of his success. He's a wonderful artist, very, very talented. Good luck to his clothing line. I have no idea who the hell Pusha T is. I really don't. I mean, I really don't.
Good luck.
Good luck with the clothing line.
Was it OVO?
Yeah, right, with the two owls. I mean, I saw enough. Watching the pregame yesterday, I saw enough about Drake and anything else. And I thought Barkley made a good point. Enough. I mean, enough about talking about Drake. You got to move on. And And he said, you know, I wouldn't even address it. And I get that Budenholzer was asked a question. And there's a difference about the being asked a question about it than coming out and just talking about it. There is a discernible difference. But from this point forward, enough. I mean, that is a nice job of trolling by Mallory Edens last night. It really is. No.
No, I appreciate it.
But it didn't work.
It didn't work.
And Drake did not cross the line. If you're going to fire the first shot, putting up a picture of Mallory Edens on your, Instagram handle?
Yeah.
I mean, what's the big deal?
Side note, he has 57.3 million Instagram
followers.
Yeah,
right. She just got a bump. No,
I'm sure she did get a bump off of that. I'm just at 57.3.
Do you think he crossed the line?
I wouldn't even know if he did.
Oh, stop.
No, I mean, I'm serious. I think it's fun. I think
it's all in good fun.
Yeah,
when people relax.
She's not a baby. She's in college, I think, or done with college. So she's, at a full-fledged adult.
Follow her, she's like traveling the world. She's
on
yachts in Spain.
Must be nice to be rich.
Yes, I think it must be. Yes, I'd agree with you. 855-212-4227. There's no truer statement that you'll hear on this Friday morning than the one that Bogus has mentioned. It must be nice to be rich. Yes, agreed. A Kevin Durant update. Plus, the King begins his courtship. We'll get into that next. It's Taz Moose, Bogus sitting in the house here. On this Friday morning before Memorial Day weekend, welcome aboard Sirius and XM 206, the app as well. We thank all of our great affiliates across the country. We'll get into a little Warrior basketball. We'll do that next. Taz Moose, CBS Sports Radio.
Give Taz and the Moose a call. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
A good Friday morning to one and all. Taz and the Moose with you. Bogish is in the house with me. It's time to ask the pros, where you, the listener, get to ask us a question. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. And submit your question. Be listening later on the show. We might answer your question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day. A little bit of an update out in Golden State for the Warriors. And Bogus, you and I were talking about it during the course of the break. And I am, count me as one of those that is stunned. I mean, the fact that we are watching DeMarcus Cousins, even if he's going in slow motion, and at 50% speed on the practice floor for the Golden State Warriors, as we are now 6 days away from the NBA Finals, after what we saw earlier in the postseason, what looked like a torn quad as he was walking off the court after chasing a loose ball and going hard to the court, I am stunned. I mean, you might actually see Cousins play before Kevin Durant.
Which, I mean, makes no sense. Now, I never believed the Warriors were being open and honest about Durant. I thought they were shortchanging his absence the whole way to just try and play coy. Like, I knew when a calf strain, even the slightest one, is a multiple-week thing. So I didn't expect him to finish that Rocket series, obviously. Didn't think he was going to... I thought maybe he could get back at the end of the conference final had it gone to seven games. It didn't. So I'm not completely shocked that he's not back yet, and they still don't really know exactly what his target date is. But the fact that Cousins, all along, they've entertained this idea of him playing again seemed like nonsense. The last time we saw him, you could see his quad ripped in his leg. You could see it
rolled up.
So I just thought they were being nice or whatever. Like, just didn't want to break his heart too much. Like, yeah, maybe you can play again. And now all of a sudden, here he is, with a slightly better chance of being on the floor for game one than Durant.
Well, and here's what it does show you as well. First off, you have to physically be able to work your way back. But you're going to put your time and effort in to get back on the court when you have an opportunity to win a championship. Now, Durant's won a title and won multiple titles out in Golden State. And he might leave come July 1st in NBA free agency. That is yet to be determined. And he wants to get back and at least be part of this team in the NBA Finals at some point, you know, contribute at some point so he can put on that ring. And so does DeMarcus Cousins. He signed that one-year deal. So you best – I'm stunned because I thought it was just one of those injuries where there's no physical way
right.
DeMarcus Cousins can come back. I thought when we saw that video, I thought, okay, that's it.
Yep.
I think they'll be better off for it because I don't think they're going to necessarily need Cousins to win a championship. But what it also does show you is, you know, Cousins takes the one-year gamble here to go to Golden State. You know, he wants to be part of the NBA Finals. I mean, it's every young basketball player's dream to play in a champion on a championship team and to play in the NBA Finals. Cousins is now working his way back.
But again, like, you would think that it didn't matter what he was
True.
Willing to do, could do, because he tore his quad, and you could visibly see it torn and shriveling in his leg. So it just didn't seem to make sense. Even when they're like, you know what, we're not going to do surgery. We'll see what happens. Maybe it'll heal. And now maybe it's healed. I mean, it is, to take nothing away from his work and what crazy you-know-what the doctors have done to get that leg constant work to get it healthy again, there's got to be a lot of luck involved in this, that it just happened to be that rare scenario where it healed on its own and in the perfect, near-perfect timeline for them.
Well, no doubt. And maybe it's a case, Bogish, where they oversold the Cousins injury
and
undersold the Durant injury. Because I agree with you. I thought initially... Well, initially with Durant, everyone thought it was a torn Achilles. I mean, even
right.
Miller on the broadcast was basically like, see you next year. You know, it was a non-contact injury where he's reaching back in back of him. But once it was determined it was a calf injury, Golden State initially made it seem like, oh, yeah, we'll see him in about 7 to 10 days. We'll examine him. And now who knows if he plays in the NBA Finals. And Cousins might actually be back before him. If they get both of them back in the NBA Finals at some point in time, I mean, God bless. God bless. Taz Moose, Friday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.